Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. This is our bi-weekly show on dating and singlehood. I'm Kate Holmquist.
I'm Rachel Zwell.
And I'm Monica Sandin.
And we're delighted to be here with you today, live with us on the phone or later on. We have a couple of callers today joining us for a discussion on what to change after a breakup. I think that's... like everything, is that what came to mind for me first? So, you know, we've talked about a couple things beforehand about the little things you want to change, and we'll interject with some thoughts as we hear from our callers. But whether you're the one who has initiated the break or been the recipient of the break or it was a mutual break, I think that is a time period that really brings up some questioning, some self-doubt, some reshuffling of priorities. Even if it's something I've initiated in the past, it's like, how did I get here? What does this say about me? And what's my action going forward? That this breakup is an opportunity to address in my life. So I think this is a great topic for us today, and I'm excited to hear what's on our callers' minds. And I think we should just get right started. We'll hear from some folks in a few minutes, but first let's just...
Yeah. Well, the first thing
we all think...
The first thing that I thought of was, like, I break up, and then I get my hair cut. And then I get my eyebrows done. and then I want to go shopping. But I know that's not really what the question's getting at, but I think it says something.
Well, I think that there's this thing, like, what I'm hearing is this kind of, like, call to feel different. Like, so I've done... twice after breakups, I've cut all my hair off. the first one was actually like pre-breakup, but I knew it was it was coming.
Right.
And so I think there is this, at least for me, this moment where like all of a sudden I'm like, something's about to change or has just changed. Like I don't have to be. It's just like a wake up call. Like I don't have to live my life the way that I have been living it.
Mm-hmm.
I can do something that I've been thinking about and haven't done before, and maybe held myself back from because of my judgments or fears about another person.
Yeah.
So I think there is a call towards that.
Freedom and what I love about you cutting the hair is like it's just symbolic lightness.
Yes.
And not hiding.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I mean, I got a little swoop in the front, but otherwise I've got, like, nothing to hide from. I noticed that, like, you know, a lot of times in the past if I got, you know, nervous around somebody, I'd do one of these, like, kind of lean back and let my hair, you know, kind of hide me a little bit. And there's something about being exposed that, like, you know, comes after a breakup regardless of whether or not you cut your hair.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think for me, a lot of it is just like, I want to look better. And I want to look better. I want to feel new. And I really want to be better. And I know it's not, you know, it's not a huge difference. I haven't even gotten huge hair changes like yours. But just even something like, you know, I feel different. I'm wearing something I know I look good in. My hair feels better. I'm really hungry after a breakup to know that, like, I'm still okay and I'm attractive in the world and people like me and people want to be with me. And I think, like, the biggest changes I look for are in that direction. I want people to be attracted to me after a breakup.
I relate to that a lot, Rachel, and I'll take it the next level, which is I don't even care if it's like the next guy who thinks
that.
Yeah. If there's anyone in this world who knows I just got broken up with or I ended a relationship, I don't want them to see me without makeup, without my sharpest outfit on. I don't want anyone to think that I'm down in the dumps, even if I have moments of feeling that way. Even if I'm crying and I need to, you know, put my makeup on several times in a day. I will do that. I really do. I mean, it's a principle to me, like this positive, hopeful, visionary stance is something I'm like committed to out of the work we do here. And I don't want my experience of my breakup to give anybody else a story that this has to be bad and rotten and whatever. It's like I'm committed to transforming out of this, and you're going to see that by the way I'm showing up.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, yeah, what's so interesting about that to me is like there's two sides to it. Because, you know, on the one hand, it's like, yes, it's this positive visionary state. I'm also hearing it as kind of a shield from you know, some of the stuff like that's really going on.
Yeah.
A bit of fake it till you make it.
I mean, I'm also just, like, interested in this, and it came up for me, Rachel, while you were talking, this idea that, like, you know, I want to look my best after a breakup, and I've noticed that in myself, too, that, you know, like, suddenly I'm going to put on, like, the, you know, the slightly sexier dresses, you know, like that, that I haven't been wearing. And it's occurred to me in past breakups and past, like, even mid-relationship, like, why don't I put forth that much effort into, like, looking good and feeling good and experiencing myself anew while I'm with somebody?
Yeah.
You know, there's an element to me where I start to notice, you know, a couple weeks or maybe, like, 2 or 3 months in where I've just started to, like, get complacent and I don't feel like I have to dress up anymore and, like, suddenly I don't feel rude anymore. So there's something for me that I've been working on in, like, being and looking and feeling my best, you know, pre-breakup as opposed to just post.
How much is all the time?
All the time, yeah.
Right, because, I mean, what I'm identifying when I think about it is it's not just about, you know, me looking good to attract another man.
Right.
It's like I want to feel better, and I feel better when I'm confident, and, you know, I'm we learn here that, you know, confidence can be a bit of an illusion or a sort of lack of self-awareness in some cases, but there is a real difference in how I feel about myself, you know, when I'm kind of like lounging, slouching in sweats, or when I have, like, you know, good posture, I'm put together, I know that I look good and I'm happy with the way that I'm reflecting myself in the world.
Well, wardrobe is a factor. We've all heard the research on enclosed cognition.
Yes.
Where you actually have a higher IQ, a better sense of possibility in life if you're dressed as help me recover the examples here, but I think, like, someone in the professions, a lab coat versus lab coat versus a bathrobe.
Yeah.
I feel different about that, even if it's just costume dress. I'm not suggesting keep a lab coat at home, but
or a costume.
Yeah, absolutely. But
that's what a job you want, Batman.
Or that one.
I hadn't heard that before. But I think it is just it demonstrates attention to what's the mental state you want to create. And it really isn't about who you look good for. It's really about how it helps you upregulate, move on, you know, maintain the presence you want to maintain and the you want to reflect in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think a new one for me in it is that, you know, that is not to the expense of the sadness and anger and hurt that I may be feeling. That's why I love your example, Kate, of, you know, I'm crying, I have some makeup on, I cry it off, I put some more makeup on, I'm still dressed well, so I feel good about myself.
Yeah.
So my sadness, anger, hurt are just that. They're my emotions, but it's not the sort of, like, self-loathing, like, I'm a lump who can't get out of bed, self-pitying.
Yeah.
The emotions are okay, but I'm, you know, I'm okay with myself, too, and happy with how I'm presenting myself.
Cool.
Yeah.
So let me ask, do you ever find yourself planning those kind of moves with sort of a revenge mindset, or like, I'll show him, you know, look at this hot thing where he left behind?
Probably. It's not the thing that I've been conscious of, but I did realize it. And
or to win him back.
Yeah, I haven't been conscious of, but what I did notice in my last breakup, it was a bit messy. It took a long time. We were living together. It took actually a strangely long time to, like, fully move my stuff out. And I had made a decision not to date anybody while I still had my stuff there because it just seemed, like, weird.
Mm.
And I didn't have a home. I was living on a friend's couch. And it was just, like, really strange. And I got a phone call from him asking, like, are you dating anybody? Because I am. And suddenly I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, that was the thing that I wanted to change, where, like, I was, you know, taking care of him without him even knowing it and, like, you know, trying to, like, you know, quote-unquote protect him and in a way protect myself from, like, you know, going out and, like, being in the dating world again so quickly.
Yeah.
And like, just noticing, like, that was a shift for me to make, so to notice that, like, I wanted to date. I had been done with this relationship for a while, and I wanted to go out and meet new people. So that was a change that I made.
Yeah. I think you just took us into an interesting piece of territory, which is the loops you leave open in the relationship itself. And we've talked before with several callers about when you end it, how long is the right amount of time to wait to have contact again? Or, you know, is there, I don't think there's an ideal length of time, but we've talked about the idea of just having a conscious break and not, even if you have entanglements you need to kind of work out, do them after a break. a real good break.
Yeah, what's interesting to me about that is it's one of the same, you know, policies that we follow, and, you know, when we have people in an environment close together in a group where they're learning and growing together, mm-hmm. somebody graduates and move on, you know, we encourage them to take some time where they're not, you know, going to their same people to make contact all the
right.
time so that they can go out in the world and forge new relationships and
right.
get and create the strong connection elsewhere. I think the same thing that we have as a growth rule in our communities here really, you know, applies to dating. Like, okay to touch base once in a while, but don't go there for your primary support. Otherwise, how are you going to build your, you know, your support elsewhere in your life?
Yeah. Totally true. I saw some research last week that said, well, if you can imagine the honeymoon feeling of the rush of first romance, you know, all your chemicals are activated and everything is wonderful and fantasy and that person is like a drug to you.
Mm-hmm.
It says that at the point of a breakup, all those same things are activated for you. Like literally that same chemical wash is happening.
Wow.
You need to remember the happy times, the romance, the flood is happening in the exact same way.
Because who doesn't know that feeling? They're like, oh, but he was so great this one time.
Exactly. And I think there's just an acknowledgement to do about how if you've been in a relationship for any significant length of time, you have absolutely worn a neural super highway between, wow, I have a hurt or a feeling and I need contact, reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is my person that I'm attached to.
Right.
And the amount of effort that it takes to sort of, you know, unhook that, make a detour to someone else in your world who can provide those same needs for contact and reassurance
mm-hmm.
and, you know, nourishing touch. Like, those things all have to be rebuilt and rewired, and it is a monumental job. I'm finding that right now after, like, a three-week dating relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where I want to pick up the phone immediately and go for something like that would be really unconscious to do, but I know there's some kind of affirmation or just boost ego stroke. I can still get from that person.
Yeah.
Decided we're not going
to
date.
Well, and there's this thing to be said before that we've talked about on the show about, like, not making one person your only person.
Yeah.
You know, like while you're in a relationship with somebody or even just, you know, dating for a couple of weeks, like, not closing yourself off to the rest of your contacts, the rest of the world, the rest of your connections, because
that's
been there, done that. And then you have the breakup, and it's like, I forgot, is there anybody else?
And I'm
also noticing my tendency to, like, well, that I've got that no highway, you know, built, and this person is off limits, so who are the other guys in my life? Doing the work of, like, when you said the detour, my thought was like, a close friend, you know, rather than jumping into the next guy on that highway to get, you know, get some of those needs met elsewhere so that it can be spread out a little more.
Mm-hmm. And I think just to underscore where we've been with this, I think that what you're both hitting on as you're saying this is, like, the question is the kind of life you want to have.
Yeah.
Like, while you're dating, after you're not dating anymore. Like, I want my relationships to be in the service of lots of rich relationships in the world. I want my special person to support me in living that kind of life where I'm in contact with a lot of people. And it's easy to forget when it's just so wonderful to be with them and so on. That we kind of need those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to remind us we want to have those people. You know, that the people we're not in a relationship with. It's like that's just a job to maintain overall and to not go blind.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a wonderful segue into our first caller, Wangle, who we have on the line. And Wangle's asking us, he said, it's been so long since my last breakup, and I haven't really started dating anyone. What should I change to start dating again? So, Wangle, tell us more.
Hi, thank you for having me on the show.
Hi, welcome.
It's been a few years, I just haven't really, you know, made any effort to find somebody or be in a place where, you know, somebody I'm looking for is going to be at or really clear about who that person looks like and what who they are, you know. my ideal candidate, if you will.
Linda, can you tell me a little bit, I mean, it seems like you're fairly self-aware, you know, it's been a while. Can you tell me, like, what comes up for you and, like, what you've been thinking about and why you haven't been making these moves?
I guess it's just like, I really need somebody right now. You know, I don't really have the time. I want to put in the effort. Just, I guess, a lot of excuses.
Way of thinking about what it takes to transform, I hear mistaken beliefs there.
Yes.
I hear it's going to be hard. I have to have an ideal in mind.
Mm-hmm. Right. I shouldn't date someone unless I really need it.
Yeah.
Unless I'm not okay without it.
Yeah.
But what I'm interested in also is, you know, you're calling in and asking this question. So, you know, the reasons you gave sound like, you know, you almost don't really want to date, but I'm guessing that you do if you're, you know, if you're calling in and talking and thinking about it.
Right, because, you know, I have a goal of getting married in, you know, 2 or 3 years and having kids and a family in 5 years. So now I'm being really intentional about, okay, well, you know, work on this instead of just waiting for the right one to drop out of the sky and back in my life.
Yeah. So you've asked us what you ought to do to change. What have you tried, or what do you think needs to change to make something move?
I think just being clear about, like, what I want, you know, in a partner, and you know, not being attached to that, but at least have, like, a goal, right? It's like, if I want to have a family, I'm not gonna go to, like, a strip club, right? Like, find that husband, right? You know what I mean? Like, like, am I looking in the right place? Am I putting myself in the right community where there'd be a higher chance for somebody that they like to volunteer and do their time? You know, I like people like that, making a difference in the world. So maybe I could look at, you know, social workers or, you know, whoever. Right?
Great. So your clarity would indicate some strategies that you're already starting to think about where to go and what to do. Social workers versus strip clubs, very different outcomes.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of when I decided to start online dating, I did it because I recognized after a breakup that had felt very similar to a lot of other ones, and I was feeling like, I don't know about down really, but just like just not very excited about dating, and I knew that I wanted to, but I didn't know how to do it or like where to find people. And I noticed that I have this mistaken belief about scarcity, that like if I find somebody that's okay enough, I have to hang on to them because there may not be another good person.
Yeah.
So I started doing online dating to prove myself wrong, to show myself that there were like in fact lots of people around that I could date, and that, you know, I can start making my own distinctions about that. And so, in listening to you talk about, you know, what you have going on and your goals and your desires, I mean, I think that there is something to strategies about, you know, networking in a particular place. And, you know, online dating, maybe not on Tinder, maybe on Match, you know, like looking specifically at those different arenas in opposition to the stuff that's been holding you back.
Yeah, I think another thing that's holding me back is like this mindset before of, you know, they have to be like, I have a certain standard of how good they have to look, or, you know, whatever requirements I have, and like anybody who doesn't meet that, I don't even start looking. I don't even start inquiring that. And I'm starting to shift my view and say, well, you know, maybe they don't have to look at that. You know, maybe other authors are possible. Maybe people who are older, I mean, always until you're kind of young, right? So maybe people my age, maybe you're older. So I'm beginning to be more open about the possible, you know, the possibilities out there versus just, you know, focused on just, like, pretty, you know.
I think that's fabulous.
Yeah,
and I relate to it. I found yesterday was a day I hadn't sworn off Tinder. I actually was on last night doing some swiping and did swipe right to a couple people who didn't, like, make my heart race right at the beginning. But I liked what they said.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me, Wangle, like there are criteria you're clear on, that there are ways you can get an impression or, like, an explicit statement from the people you're looking at that, like, I want to be in a relationship and ultimately have a family.
Mm-hmm.
Some people make that really clear.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might decide there's, like, one principle I want to go for and try in this particular phase,
yeah,
and see how it goes.
Yeah.
I've played with this before where it's like I commit to a certain volume of looking or dating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either a number of contacts I'm going to make a day or a number of dates I'm going to have per week.
Yeah.
And those are my times of best learning about
mm-hmm.
what I want and don't want. Sometimes more emphasis is on the don't want. But it's one of those ways. And, you know, I hear you having that openness or exploration about what are the criteria I haven't necessarily made explicit in my mind that, you know, I might need to look differently on some of the ones I have held as priorities. I just look at it as a cool time of discovering and think that kind of a commitment to velocity would...
And dating the world.
Yeah.
And making those different, you know, requirements or things you care about conscious, too. What I heard you say is, like, you know, I have this requirement about physical appearance, and maybe that's actually your age, and maybe those aren't the most important factors to me. You know, Kate's bringing up a couple others, you know, like the family, which you brought up earlier. Maybe those are. That's another thing we do is we just, you know, we have a tool where we kind of make an inventory of all of the things, you know, that are important to us in a partner. And it's like, when I think about it, too, I have some things on there that when I see on paper, I'm like, I'm not sure that belongs. I'm not sure that's really important to me. Maybe I can ease up on that requirement a little bit. And others that I see and I say, wow, that's really important to me. I actually agree with that, and I want to stick to that requirement.
Right.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I think being clear about, you know, what's really important and what is, like, you know, we can work out. That's good. And also, I don't know if I've been explicit about, you know, the family and the husband thing. And because I don't want to turn away possible, like, hookups. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I still want to play while I'm husband hunting.
Well, then that should be data for you.
Right?
Yeah. That should be data for you, Wangle, that there are probably others out there looking to get married and have children that also wouldn't mind playing along the way.
Yeah.
Right.
That possibility. That's
definitely
the one I use a lot in dating. It's like, you know, if I notice I have something about myself that I think totally, you know, isn't workable. It's like I can't be the only one.
Yeah.
I can't be the only one who's going through this. I can't be the only one who thinks this way. That's one I soothe myself with a lot. Like, or when I find myself thinking, nobody cool is on Tinder, or I'm never going to find a great match out there. It's like, oh, no, wait, I'm a great match.
Yeah,
and I'm now on Match or whatever it is.
Right, nobody cool is single.
No, wait, I'm a good one.
I'm a good one, and I have friends who are good ones, and they're all doing it, so there must be other good ones.
You sound like a good one, Wangle. Well, I wish you luck out there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in and talking to us, Wangle. But I'm just, as we're talking, I'm thinking, like, I'd love to have you do this inventory of what's important to you, give you a little assignment to make that conscious, write it out, sort of evaluate what's important to you, and then maybe test out being clearer about those inventories and you know, going out and, you know, making some dates and being clearer about what's important to you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I will take that
and
up.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, call back in and let us know how it goes. We'll be on in 2 weeks. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right.
Cool.
I will. I'll keep you posted.
Okay. Thanks so much. Well, we've got a that was great, and we have a second caller actually. We've got Mark on with us, and Mark wants to know what's an appropriate amount of time to wait before starting another relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, Mark, and I would love to hear some more.
Hi, ladies. Thanks for having me.
Hey, welcome.
So I'm recently off a 4-year relationship. And it has dwindled for a long time, but it has reached its official end this past weekend. So I don't feel like I should be raking out these days, but on the other hand, I don't want to turn down opportunities to come my way that could be beneficial to me as well. So maybe we can start there.
Yeah. Well, this makes me think of what really the job is when you're in that space right after the breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is what we were saying before. It's like it's about it's about cultivating a new lifestyle. You know, you and Mark for 4 years have built a lifestyle that involves this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just to be like honoring of yourself in this huge challenge of doing that.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel like that involves going on dates, more power to you.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're one who's sacrificed friendships in favor of it or hasn't worked out because you've been going out to dinner every, 3 days a week with your special somebody, I think it really is just, it's totally your call and there's absolutely no right answer.
Yeah.
It's whatever you feel most led to in your yearning for the next phase of life.
Yeah, and just like in this, like you said and like we said, that you are in this space of, having come out of, an intimate dyad with somebody. And if you do choose to date, I just encourage you, I'm about to share a story that I've told one other person, but to encourage you to like tend to yourself and take care of yourself, because it can be vulnerable to be in that spot. The first date I went on after my last breakup, I remember thinking, like, this is, I shared about it earlier, and I'm like, well, I gotta go on a date, so I found somebody to go on a date with, and I was just like, not looking back on it, I was feeling just like, sad and not really taking care of myself. So I went on this date with somebody that I didn't like. He was really into me. He kissed me at the end of it, and I literally ran away. I ran for about 3.5 blocks until I realized I didn't know where I was. So there was an element of being in that and noticing, like, I missed the connection. And, it's not that I shouldn't be going on dates, but I wasn't really conscious in taking care of myself in that space of having come out of something really serious with somebody.
Mm.
So I think, regardless of, what you choose to do, to be really, looking towards yourself, and every time you are with another person, being conscious of getting nourished and, making connections, and maybe it's being alone sometimes. So I think there's, a lot for you to get to know yourself in this space.
Mm. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. That's certainly a huge part of it. I guess when I'm in the dating phase, kind of a phase, and it's really not even phase, that's the wrong word. I sort of feel like I want to share the growth that I'm going through right now, and sort of presenting that, but I also don't want to make it an overwhelming. I also want it to be a fun time for talking serious stuff. I'm talking about just getting off this relationship, or I'm focusing. But I also want the conversation to be real. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's like a huge number of things in your life are shifting right now, and you're in the question of how to reflect that.
Yeah,
on a date.
Well, and I'm also hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm hearing some mistaken beliefs in that too, that you're feeling this call on yourself to be honest with the person that you're, sitting across from, and you think that the things that you want to be honest about might not be okay or might be too much. Is that accurate?
Yeah, there's some danger there, sure.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, too. I don't need to be worried about that. I can just be myself, and if it's not okay, then that's just looking open for that person.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If being with your feelings is a problem for somebody, that's probably a problem. You know, being with the reality of your situation, being authentic is a problem.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. And I know, Mark, that for me, like, it's that, you know, people say that you don't really get over one person until you're dating another person or with another person. And there's a grain of truth in that for me. You know, there's a lot that I can do to take care of myself and move on and you know, forge relationships. Otherwise, make, you know, get more deeper friendships. At the same time, you know, whether I start dating immediately or wait a little while to do it, there is some repairing that happens for me when I go on a date with another person who I like, even if it doesn't become anything serious, and I think, like, okay, there are, you know, there are other men. There are other men who are interested in me and who I will be interested in.
Yeah.
So I think, to some extent, those first dates like that, I'm always going to be feeling some of that sadness and upset and comparing this person to the previous person, and that whether it's right after or whether it's, you know, months after, the extent might change, but it's, the feelings are still going to be there.
To me, it almost puts worse pressure on the date that happens down the road if you don't start dating. It's like, oh, well, this is my first date.
Yeah.
Breaking up, and I've been waiting for this one, and really getting myself together to feel fit to date again.
Yeah. Well, and Mark, I think your job is, I mean, your question was, you know, what's the appropriate amount of time to wait before you start another relationship? And I think your job right now isn't about starting another relationship.
Right.
Your job is about dating and getting to know other people and getting to know yourself. And you may go on a first date and think it's wonderful and try to start a relationship, and it may work and it may not. Or you may go on, you know, 30 dates with 30 different people before you find somebody that you're interested in having a second date with. You know, there's just a lot of freedom and exploration for you in this. I don't think that there is a particular timeline or deadline or right answer for this. I think you are exploring, and that's your job. Yeah.
I like it. I can get on with all that. That's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Have an exploration around this city.
Totally.
Yeah, I love
that. That's the feedback I consistently get.
Like Lewis and Clark.
Get and give. It's like, do what you love.
Yeah.
You know, go to the symphony if that's your thing. Bob Wright has given me the coaching several times of, like, have your buddy for the symphony. On this show, he's talked about it, too. Have your symphony buddy. Have your volleyball buddy.
Mm.
Have your wine tasting buddy. You know, you can build your crew of three black women that you enjoy doing the things you enjoy doing with.
Yeah.
And don't put the pressure on it of relationship, romantic relationship anyway.
Yeah.
Like Monica said, date the world.
Yeah.
And see who wants to come along to play.
Awesome.
Thanks,
ladies.
Yeah, Mark. And Mark, please call back in and update us. We'd love to hear back from you. Have you on again?
I will do it. Thank you.
Good. Thanks.
Great.
Hi, Mark.
That's an interesting inquiry for me. I just was tracking my own timeline of having ended a 4.5-year relationship. I waited 2 months before I went on my first date after it.
Mm-hmm.
I was in, and it took another month before I really decided I was interested in that person, and we actually had a couple dates and about 2 days for it to end. So, and then, you know, it's been like the, I've said this before, like, I feel absolutely great about the dozen or so guy friends I have from the 2-year period that lived, including that person. We're still friends.
Yeah.
So I don't know that there's, of course, there's no formula.
Right.
And I expect to be surprised.
Yeah.
In this kind of situation.
And you know, one thing that I have found is, you know, Mark's question about what's the appropriate length of time before starting a relationship, the time has increased for me as I've really gone at discovering myself in the process of dating. And that's not a formula either, so it may not be for everyone. But for me, you know, breaking the previous pattern that I had of falling into a relationship because it was comfortable,
comfortable, and I wanted to be with somebody, and it felt, you know, it felt good to have somebody to come home to. You know, breaking it for me was to really build my life, you know, by myself with lots of friends, going on dates, getting to know myself, getting to know what I want. And again, like, no idea how it ends. Do I get into a relationship tomorrow? Do I get in, you know, get into a committed relationship in 5 years? I don't know.
Right. Well, and you said, like, and we've been talking about this idea of, like, you know, breaking patterns and changing.
Right.
And I think, like, that's what it comes down to, and, you know, about, like, what do I do after a breakup? Like, what do I change? How do I shift? Is, like, the breakup is the opportunity to catch yourself. And,
right.
you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I've used it several times. Like, I catch myself. This breakup feels exactly like the last five before it. And
right.
looking back, like, that guy is the exact same guy I've dated five different times, you know. And so noticing, like, finally catching yourself, like, this is my pattern, and, like, that's what to shift. So it's going to be different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your pattern is you unconsciously fall, you know, quote-unquote, fall in love immediately. Maybe your pattern is you're avoidant and distant in relationships. So to catch
mm-hmm.
yourself in whatever that is and make a shift as appropriate towards that,
yeah.
I think that's what it is. There's no single thing.
Yeah, well said.
Mm. Cool. Great. Well, thank you for listening. You know, I'd love for all of our listeners to join us again in 2 weeks on this show and to join Dr. Bob Wright tomorrow for another show, How to Gain Feedback Without Being a Nag.
Excellent.
Can't wait. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks.